So hello and welcome to our November 2007 teleseminar. I hope everyone is doing so far good this year. It seems that I just spoke about how quick the year is going to go by, and boom, we're now in November. That means we only have one more month before the year closes out. The question I posed was, is this year a year that you should be proud of? Did you do what you intended to do? Did you hit your goals? Did your schools grow? Was it filled with struggles and trouble? The question that we ask ourselves are quite often the answers that we receive. So you may be saying, okay, here he goes again, the Zen ninja consultant of the martial arts. But the questions that we ask ourselves are usually the answers that we get. I really want to work with you this teleseminar on a kind of a rehash or almost a review of something that I had gone over in the past on a seminar, teleseminar, on a retail wonderland. And this one is similar to that, but it has other topics. Really, as you have picked up, I work at being a positive person, and I can each and every day have a smile on my face, but it doesn't matter what you see on the outside. If the inside doesn't reflect the same mentality, then you're going to have constant struggle with yourself, and your life is going to be more difficult. To let you know, everyone has problems, and the age-old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side, is totally 100% true. Just as you know, whatever you're experiencing in your schools, whether it be ups and downs, struggles with employees, students, and so on, everyone out there is experiencing similar kind of struggles. It's a different name, maybe a different state, maybe a different, slightly different situation, but quite often it's similar. So just as you know, financially, you may have struggles as well. You know, you may pay one bill, just like I do. I pay one bill, and breathe a sigh of relief, and I get hit with something unexpected. And just Monday, I paid some of my real estate taxes, and I was feeling a bit relieved to pay them when all of a sudden my oil burner guy showed up to tell me that one of my East Islip locations was the heating system was in need of replacement. Of course, it was a routine checkup, and I wasn't worried until the hammer fell. And then he told me that the system was 50 years old and it needed to be replaced to the tune of like $14,000. So I wasn't prepared, nor did I want to pay this kind of money, nor would anybody. But my point being is, big or small school owners, it doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat no matter how we slice it. I'm sure that Donald Trump or Bill Gates has huge problems compared to someone who's proportionately smaller. And I'm sure you can understand that, you know, we all go through the same thing. So now, with that being said, our mind should be set on holiday rush as well as the new year. In my emails, you probably see that I'm a bit aggressive in my approach about continual push to do consistent marketing. I hope people are not getting sick of hearing the same old thing over and over again, and I hope that I don't offend anyone. But sometimes I push, especially on my Taking It to the Next Level program, consistency and sticking to a plan. I say that there really is no magic plan, no perfect promotion, and no one way to do things. It's quite obvious due to all the different philosophies that are right now in our industry due to the consultants and the consulting companies that are out there that one thing doesn't work. But before I go into my topic, I want to be clear on the mentality that I believe to be healthy for martial arts school owners. Too many school owners are not taking enough time to develop themselves in a few areas. One, the continued training in the martial arts and fitness, two, learning how to be a better business person, and three, developing themselves spiritually. So I feel that martial arts schools are lacking in some respect in that area. So the question I ask is, what have you done lately in any of those three areas? One, martial art and fitness, two, developing yourself as a better business person, and three, developing your spiritual connection, because that's why we're involved in martial arts. When it comes to business, it's no different than going to the gym. If you don't do it regularly, it's basically a waste of time. Rather than running 1 hour a week on a treadmill, just focus on eating better. If you do them both regularly, your life will be transformed. So think about it. What can you do in business regularly that will transform your life? I'm going to give you a for instance. Many clients that join Taking It to the Next Level love my program. They read it regularly, and then at around month 8, they fizzle out. Some of them, of course, will stick with it, and some of them have been with me for 2 and 3 years. But once they go, they stop going to the site, they stop using the material, they then end up canceling their membership. And now, does this sound familiar? This is so similar to students, right? So, well, in essence, Next Level clients are students in some regard. But I always urge people to continue on their quest, and if they do, the rewards will be endless. And I know this sounds familiar. You've probably given this same exact speech to your students and the parents. And as I continue to push the ideas and concepts at Member Solutions and Next Level, I continually hammer home the same mentality for our clients. And, you know, I think that a good majority of them that are listening will move forward. Just this morning, I woke up and I saw an email from Rob Colasanti, and he spoke about a convention that he just attended. He talked about the movers and shakers in the world, and he said that there was a small percentage of people that are in the top. His analogy was the inevitable ratio in human performance. He said that in any population of people will ultimately sort itself out by these percentages. 5% will be the super achievers, 15% will be very good, and 80% will be mediocre or marginal. The distribution of wealth in the United States, it's the same thing. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are the highest at $59 and $52 billion, according to Rob Colasanti. And then there's a big drop from another group of people that are in the $28 billion range. The Google guys are around $18 billion and $15 billion. And then there's a huge group of people between $1 and $10 billion. I think that this is so true because school owners are in that category as well. There are a small amount of people, the 5% that are the super achievers. And I thank Rob for this eye-opening morning email, and I hope that some of you will think about this a bit more and ask yourself the question is, which group will you be in? Now, remember, if you're advertising sporadically, you may get results in the same fashion. So why is it that most people are searching for the goose that laid the golden student? For example, we're looking for the next fad, the next cardio quick fix, or the next wave to ride until that gets boring. And I believe, me personally, in the old age added that slow and steady wins the race. I advertise 365 days a year, whether it be on my website, through emails, through print ads, radio, TV, press releases, special events, etc. The list goes on and on. So my point is that we don't need to rush into something that will be short-lived. I recommend getting on a regular marketing campaign and stick with it. We need to start on a yearly advertising campaign, and this campaign should not only be geared towards new students. It should be including the marketing you do to your existing students, for example, parents' night outs, Halloween, special seminars, as well as holiday sales. And that's what we're talking about today is holiday sales. And, of course, as always, if anyone wants to email me, you could always email me for my marketing action worksheet that I've been giving out for months. And my email address is Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I, L-I, ninja, at AOL.com. That's Renshi, L-I, ninja, at AOL.com. This worksheet is simple, but it really helps you gain perspective and focus and put together a specific plan of action. That plan of action is going to be the results, and the plan of action will either result in low energized kind of sales within your school. Here's an example I shared a few months ago on building a specific area in your school. Of course, if you want to increase children's enrollment or gear sales or whatever it may be, you can ask yourself if you're doing these exercises regularly. Here are 10 tips real quickly. The first one is do special seminars for children outside your location. Let's say if you're interested in getting children in your school. Do special seminars for children outside your location. Get in with the school systems. Do stranger danger seminars, whatever that may be. Number two, go to the local daycare centers, nursery schools, and advertise when classes let out, or ask the administration for them to allow you to give out flyers, and in return, you'll do the same for them. Number three, go to the local Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, or Brownie Troops. Number four, meet with the PTA. Number five, give away free karate parties and birthday parties. Number six, go to local Chamber of Commerce and sponsored events, and then sponsor a Stranger Danger Night for the community. Number seven, stand outside a local supermarket and do a raffle for a three-month membership. Ask the store if you could set up a booth in the store on a busy night. This could be done at Toys R Us's. It could be done anywhere. And do the raffle there, right in their place. Number eight, go to the mall and do a special evaluation on self-defense, weight loss, and physical fitness, sometimes renting a booth or sometimes just getting permission and paying to be able to stand there with a clipboard. Number nine, meet with the local mayor or town person and ask him if they know a way for you to get more people through the doors of your school. You never know what they could do for you. Number 10, take the time to call all your existing students and ask for referrals. I speak all the time on my referral program, as you can see. But right now, let's talk about our topic. The topic of the week is pumping up your holiday sales. First and foremost, I'm the owner of not only a martial arts school, but a state-of-the-art 2,000-square-foot retail store that has clients all over the world and internet presence. The name of the site is called thetouchofzen.com. I haven't spent much time talking about retail before because people don't see me as a retail consultant, but more so as a martial art consultant. I've sat through countless seminars, some good, some bad, and listened to so-called experts speak about retail and the basics of retail sales. My goal is to help people, school owners, maximize what they could sell in their school as well as improve their sales overall. It's imperative that everyone realizes that if you're not retailing and branding items, then you're missing out on everything that could be going on in your school. Here are a few different scenarios. The simplest one could be retailing your gear in your curriculum and tying it into your curriculum, and you could get guaranteed sales, no questions asked. The second scenario could be just to have sales items available for point-of-sale purchases. Let's start there with the first one, curriculum-based sales. In my school, we have 8 belt levels, starting with beginner level, then processing all the way to black belt level, or progressing all the way to black belt level. At each level, which we call Q level in our school, we teach a variety of things, including grappling, sparring, padded weapons, traditional weapons, as well as tactical training. It is a mandatory requirement that the students buy specific packages at certain belt levels. In order for them to progress, practice, and perform in class, they must have their own gear. We've developed a yearly calendar broken down into cells. For example, we have sparring week 1 week, grappling week another, weapons such as tonfa bow, sai, hanbo, cane, knife, naginata, boken, sword, and ei, jitsu. Each one of these areas of our curriculum are tied into a specific rank, and each student is told before they join that it's necessary for them to purchase these items separately from their membership in order to progress in our school. You can see my calendar if you want to online from my school, and you can download it at www.lininja.com to see an example of what we do. We just completed our 2008 calendar, and it's ready to go to print this week, and we'll be up online probably by next month early. We also explain that our students need to be prepared for class and give them a copy of our yearly calendar and ask them if they look at it before class begins. If they're unprepared, it goes against their progression in rank and they hold themselves up. So it's our goal to teach them traditional martial arts, but in order for them to learn, they need to have the necessary equipment tied into our curriculum. Think about this. In other sports, it's not unheard of to buy $500 worth of hockey gear. Heck, even in a non-team-based sport such as paintball, golf, or skateboarding, there's a certain amount of safety gear or equipment to make the experience as painless and nice as possible. I just recently took up the hobby of golf. Recently, I progressed from hitting balls at the driving range and borrowing a club to getting my own set of clubs. My buddies who go and play golf regularly tell me that it's a quite inexpensive sport. So why would the martial arts be any different? I think it's a matter of educating our clients. There are many methods we use to market retail merchandise in our schools, but the simplest is we offer discount coupons that we put in the promotion packages and we give out at rank ceremonies, encouraging the parents or the student to purchase the gear that they need for their new rank or level within 1 week, and if they do, they'll receive 10% off. If not, then it's regular price. And in our school, from beginner to black belt, a student may invest maybe, notice that I say invest rather than pay, because it's an investment in their future of approximately $500 if they buy the normal gear. If they buy top-of-the-line gear over the course of 5 years, it could be $1,000, and that a student could tip the scales easily with a different sword in our school, which one could be a $200 sword, the other one could be a $500 to $1,000 sword. So what do we do with our schools? What do we do with those schools that don't have weapons or sparring? The question you must ask yourself is there any spot in your program to add in gear? Even in cardio karate or mixed martial arts, there are tons of training aids. For example, grappling gloves, hand wraps, boxing gloves, Muay Thai leg pads, shin pads, and then heavy bags or wave masters for the home practice, and the list goes on and on. Not to mention, you should be encouraging the students to start their own home practice area. Not only is this good for sales, but it's also good for the student because the more students are involved, the longer they will continue to train at your school. So with this being said, tying in your gear sales into your curriculum is a no-brainer. If you ever want to figure out a way to do this, I'd be more than happy to go over that with you to see, you know, how we can incorporate it into your schools. I think that it's very, very important that we, you know, make sure that we figure it out ahead of time so that when a student joins your school, you could spell it out for them in the beginning stages so that you don't lose, you know, the student because they're saying that they never knew they had to get this or that after the case. Now, another thing is with retail sales is branding and co-branding. There shouldn't be an item that passes through your doors that doesn't have your name on it. I became a master at this at an early age in my career when I was a lead guitarist and singer for a rock and roll band in the 1980s. Even though that we weren't famous, we certainly put our name on everything. Also, I want to be clear that you can't send me an email to ask to see me in my spandex pants or long hair, okay? But jokingly enough, though, in this band, we sold anything from guitar picks, T-shirts, jackets. We even did undergarments. It was absolutely hysterical. So here are a few things that I suggest that you should be working on in your retail operation. Number one, some examples in my school that we do is tank tops. 2 T-shirts, 3 sweatpants, 4 sweatshirts, mock turtlenecks, hoodies, gear bags, backpacks, sling bags, water cooler bags, pencil bags, stickers, dress shirts, towels, school hats with your logo on it, sun visors, notebooks, car window decals, folders, fighting gear with your logo on it, uniforms with your logo on it, spring and summer and fall jackets, winter windbreakers or windbreakers, coloring books with your name and logo on it. If you don't have a continual amount of gear available, you shortchange yourself as well as your clients. I believe that they're going to buy a T-shirt. Why not buy your school shirt? The same goes for hats. I believe in my school, the Long Island Ninjutsu Centers is a brand, and so should you feel that way about your school. It's cool to wear the shirt of the largest ninjutsu school in the world, and we are it, and we're proud of it. And, of course, you should be the same way about your school. So, by the way, all these items as well as custom products such as print material is available for you through my web store that I mentioned before at AtouchOfZen or AtouchOfZen.com, or you could easily call 631-893-4243. That's 631-893-4243, and we'll give you some ideas on what you could do to build up your retail. So what do we do to turn our school into a retail wonderland? First and foremost, you have to learn a bit about displaying merchandise, known as visual merchandising. And here are a few tips that are very important and imperative to your success. Number one, make sure that you have a professional retail area or section in your school. It doesn't have to be large. It could be a small wall. If you have open wall space, then you have a retail store. Continually clean and rotate your merchandise. If it's dirty, people will believe there's a lack of desire for that product, and this may result in slower sales. It doesn't matter if you sold 1,000 items, if the merchandise is not displayed properly, it will not sell. Do not let the merchandise sit for too long or past its season. So you have beach shorts, let's just say, or running shorts. In the winter, people are not going to buy it. Number three, make sure you have the prices on the gear, the description, and the offer of a layaway plan. Also, be as helpful as you can explaining the differences between low-end gear and quality merchandise. In my school, we refuse gear not to be bought from, let's say, like, you know, different wholesalers on the web that are blowing out this cheap, inexpensive stuff. We believe that we can control the safety of our items, specifically fighting gear and weapons, if we buy them and sell them to our clients so that they know they're getting the best product. We've had people purchase items from other sources on the Internet and in other stores, and we have found that we, no matter what, we can still meet or beat those prices, but we educate our students that the quality is the most important thing and also the safety. Number four, make sure you continually update and blow out your stock. For example, if you have a box of shirts that have been sitting in on the shelves for a long time, what you could do is move it around, shift it around. For example, you could get different color shirts for different times of the year or bring in more exciting stuff for the time of the year. So if it's not selling, get rid of it, blow it out. Yeah, you may lose a little money on it, but making sure that you have cash flow for new merchandise keeps it fun and exciting, but at the same time, clients need to see new things. Number five, the last thing for now is to get items for everyone. Why not buy stuff for siblings that are not training in your school? Get impulse items such as those little rubber shurikens, little throwing stars, the bracelets, the plastic swords. I went to Dawn Barnes' school in Los Angeles, California, and I was quite impressed that she has a lot of educational items for sale. And I bought a few for my daughter while I was there. I thought they were phenomenal. Another item that we miss out on is hydration products. Another, you know, the school owners missed the boat on this because I believe that, you know, you have to really get everything in every area covered. For instance, I'm a stickler for health-related products, so I believe in the entire mind-body concept. So even though that it may be labeled as a health drink, I usually don't believe it's true. So how can something with red dye or, you know, sugars and sweets be part of the plan? Recently, I pulled all the drinks in our school that have all heavy amounts of sugar, and I limited myself to healthy drinks, healthy water-based supplement drinks, and so on. This is a sure way to add a few hundred dollars to your bottom line. I think it's essential for the students' training, and it's very important for us to supply it to them. If we don't, they're going to be purchasing from the nearest convenience store, 7-Eleven down the road. And you could make a little bit more on your retail if you do it yourself. Just to put it in perspective, let's say you only sell 50 drinks per week. you can make a profit of 45 to 50 cents per drink. That's like $25 at the end of the week. Now, if you times that by four, you made yourself another $100. This can certainly pay your cable bill or your phone bill as well as your insurance for the year. So it's important that you have these things in place in the nuts and bolts of retail. Here's a list of what I believe a good store should have. Absolutely, the first and most priority is the ultimate in customer service. Have you ever walked into a store and it seemed that you forgot to take off your cloak? You know, you mastered your ninja skill of invisibility. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and even 15 minutes have gone by, and not one store employee recognizes your existence. Secondly, you're watching as they talk on their cell phone or to each other, not even glancing in your direction. Maybe I'm more in tune with this kind of behavior because I own a retail store, and I believe that each and every customer should be treated with the ultimate in customer service. A hello and a smile is not too much to ask. But I have to tell you, I've gotten overlooked many times just by stopping into martial arts schools to visit. I might be in Florida or somewhere visiting, and I found that I sat 15, 20, 30 minutes before anyone even came over, if they came over at all. So it's important to make sure that we have unbelievable customer service. Even if you're engaged in conversation with another client, teaching a class, talking to a parent, a quick glance, and I'll be right with you, is sufficient and shows that you're aware and let the customer know that someone is aware that they're there. Yesterday, I took my 8-year-old daughter to the doctor. As I signed in, I waited as three desk people talked on the phone, made photocopies, and looked in other directions. I was waiting for someone to say, "Don't worry, have a seat, and we'll be right with you," but it took at least 10 minutes. Now, I know 10 minutes seems like a small amount of time, but if you're sitting there, you feel like you're being ignored. Finally, one of the women who was on the phone looked over and nodded and said, "Sorry, I'll be right with you." The other two that weren't really doing anything and could have spoken with me just kept on ignoring me. Why is it that we are continually hiring people that just don't know what it takes to make a sale or be in retail? If our front desk person is not retail savvy, we're going to miss out on retail sales. And if that's the case, then we should really find someone that has retail experience. The retail is a job of charisma, character, and personality. To be blunt, you must be a people person. If not, then you shouldn't be in retail. Just doing a job is not what it takes. You need to do a job with enthusiasm and excitement, and that's imperative. So making sure your customers experience a pleasurable experience, if they do, they'll come back. If you do it a few times, you'll have a customer for life. Statistically, though, people are creatures of habit, and they'll stick with you forever, even if you are more expensive or even if you've made a mistake here or there, as long as you keep on giving them a quality service. Take this time now to learn about your client. You know, when you're dealing with a sale, you should be asking if there's anything that they'd like to get or if there's anything else they'd like to see. Ask all the right questions. I think with that being said, there's a few other items that I'd like to go into, and that's damage control. I want to say this, that, you know, this is important. It's not necessarily 100% true, but the customer is always right. This could be 100% true to them as a client, but remember, you have to do whatever you can to bend over backwards to handle the client professionally and put them first. I have a guy I do business with on a regular basis. Sometimes I cringe at calling, not knowing what mood he's going to be in and what he'll say, and it's like walking on eggshells. After writing this topic and outline, I usually set a few minutes aside to review it. At about 10 p.m., this individual called me up, and then he had sent an email to me. Normally, I spend a great deal of money with him in graphic design and printing. I would come to him for anything I needed for printing supplies. And I spent my first year with his company $15,000, the second year $25,000, and the last year about $35,000. And we do a great deal of business together, but he thinks that he's servicing me well. But I believe because I have to walk on eggshells, I don't want to deal with him on a regular basis. So what I did was I started to shift my business away from him. He didn't tend to care. I didn't even get a phone call. He didn't even look into it. Eventually, I ended up not doing any business with him at all. So I'm sure it affected his retail, his graphics art business, that I pulled the $35,000 account away from him. But maybe it doesn't matter to him. Maybe my account was more annoying to him or cumbersome than I knew it was. But remember, your clients are going to be looking at you as a customer service experience. And if you don't have what they need, if you're not giving them what they need on a regular basis quickly, they're going to find it as being more of a cumbersome and annoying kind of a transaction than a satisfying one. Remember, the belief system that supports my theory is all clients are going to tell you exactly how they feel is not true. Honesty is always the best policy, but for most people, they look at this as hurting your feelings or confrontational. So they avoid getting in contact with you and telling you how they feel, like the plague. So make sure when you're doing a sale or you're dealing with your clients that you're probing to find out if they're happy, satisfied, or if they're going to come back again. If they're not sure, there's a chance that you may lose your client to someone with better customer service, or if they don't necessarily have to, it doesn't have to necessarily be price or superior service. It all depends on how you handle the situation. I'm going to give you an example. Just recently, I was teaching class, and my young daughter, Kiara, was in class, as well as a whole bunch of other little kids. And the class was over. We were sitting in a circle doing a mat chat, and one of the children and I actually were sitting close to my daughter. I made a joke, and my daughter swung her head down to the mat as she was slapping the mat, joking and laughing. The other daughter, a girl, did the same and hit her teeth on my daughter's head. It ended up in having her teeth, they were her baby teeth, but she ended up having to go to the dentist. The dentist recommended to pull them. The parent incurred a $300 fee. In turn, she wants me to pay the dental bills. Of course, we have a liability waiver in our school. They sign it every time they renew their contract. They sign it on their first class. And it's not really something that I'm liable for. It was not a physical thing that happened. So I offered to the people. I said to them, listen, I don't want you to lose out. I know you had to pay this. Your insurance didn't cover you. I'll do whatever I can to bend over backwards to try to give you credit. I'll give you free parent nights out. I'll upgrade you to Black Belt Club, maybe give you our team leadership character development program. But she wasn't happy about that. She just wanted the money, and she felt that I was responsible. So I did my best to handle it however I could, try to give it to them and give back to them without caving and showing in her eyes that I did something negligent, because I don't believe that I did, and that's why we sign waivers for this kind of situation. Anyway, talking to this woman this morning, she's angry with me, and unless I pay, she's going to end up pulling her kids out. I think the damage is done already, and she just feels that I'm responsible. Even though that this is a physical activity and a martial art, she's going to, you know, hold me responsible. She just doesn't want to lay out the money. So no matter what I can, what I do, I probably won't be able to fix this situation. I even photocopied a copy of our waiver, highlighted the areas where it says that we're not responsible. I sent her a nice letter offering these credits again and doing whatever I can to kind of rebuild our relationship. But this is a relationship that was broken down. The kid, one child has been with me for 4.5 years, going on 5, the other one for 3, and I'm going to lose both of those students in the snap of a finger, all because she just doesn't want to agree with me, and there's nothing I can do about it. So we have to ask ourselves, what is poor customer service? You know, what was good customer service, and what are the guidelines that we have within our school, and where will we bend over backwards to give people credit or replace gear or give them a new shirt if one shirt rips, or a new gi, a new uniform if that one rips? What is it that we will do to continue with our customer service? And this is an important question that you need to ask yourself. You need to establish as a school owner as far as your customer policies and explain it to the students, you know, ahead of time. Remember that the customer value, though, is something that we don't talk about quite often. And, you know, I'm looking at the customer value, and let me explain customer value to you real quickly. A student customer value is basically the amount of money that they pay for their client for their program for a year. For example, let's say they pay $1,500 per year and they stay on the average of 2 years. That client is worth $3,000 to you. If that student refers one person on average, then now worth $6,000. The reason why is because one student times 2 years is $3,000, and the initial student is $3,000, so they're worth $6,000. This could go on exponentially, but if you stop at one referral, the value is $6,000. Now, one client's is valuable to you in the, of course, as far as the student goes, but they're also in the dollars and cents, they're really valuable. So why wouldn't you bend over backwards and keep them happy? And now I'm trying to get this point across to you with that example that I had with my client and saying that you have to establish guidelines as well, but do whatever you can to try to give that person the best customer service as possible. So now going back on, if we have a $6,000 customer value, and that client now buys, on average over their lifetime, another $500 worth of gear, or if they purchase $150 per year, that's $300 over the next 2 years. So the worth of a client is $6,300. Taking out the referral, the client is worth $3,300. The cash value with the referral could be $137 a month. All you need is 300 students to gross $500,000 per year in order to have a successful school with the cash value of $6,000 customer cash value. So the question is, when do you give up? When do you stop? And what is it that you could do to continually grow the cash value of a client? Is it that your students pay $120 a month? Or is it that they, if they pay $120 a month for tuition, and you can get them to spend another $15 or $20 per month on gear or on average special events and gear? The whole goal is to get that customer value up. And if you do that, you will see that it's not a numbers game of how many students that you have, how many students you need to maintain, and so on and so forth. It's very, very important for you to realize that you have to look at that as a overall customer value. Let me give you some more tips on management of retail. Knowing that running a school and having a retail operation probably adds to your stress, not only are you a martial arts school owner, but now you're a retail store owner as well. It's not as hard as it seems, but it does take extra work, time, money management skills, and inventory skills. I recommend that you start off slow and keep it simple. Here are four tips that I recommend. And number one is open a second checking account called whatever, so-and-so retail sales. Next, put all the money that you get from your retail sales directly into that account. Pay all the bills out of that account in regards to the retail, such as your items and your inventory, and don't touch the profits. Watch how quickly that the pennies will add up to dollars. Number two, use a retail management or sales software program. I recommend personally QuickBooks with the cash register. I think it's a great tool loaded with reports for a variety of items, best and worst selling, inventory, sales tax, etc. Number three, sales tax. It leads into sales tax. Make sure you're paying and collecting your sales tax for all your retail items, because you could get yourself in trouble if you don't. I look at it this way. Charge it and pay it directly to the sales tax agency. Don't play with this item in any way, shape, or form. If you're selling stuff, collect the sales tax. It's part of the law. Don't make sure that you ask your accountant about it and get it done. Number four, work out a deal with your suppliers. For example, at atouchesend.com, if our clients buy more, we give them better prices. Sometimes it's better not to stock too much, but if they're purchasing on a regular basis, and like, for example, through my company, we have an affiliate program, then we give them better deals and we work with them. So if you talk to your suppliers, whether it be Century, Asian World, Macho, whoever, if you're buying more, simply you should be getting a better discount. Also, it depends on the size of your store and the amount of stuff that you're selling on a regular basis. Keep track of those sales so that you could then, in turn, go to that supplier and say, look, I bought $20,000 worth of fighting gear this year. What can you do for me? Or go and take that and say to such and such place, I bought from this other company. What could you do for me if I buy from you? So you can, in turn, save yourself a great deal of money, build your profitability up just by shopping price and, you know, going over that price with other suppliers looking for the best deal possible. Of course, you may stock other items, too, of interest, such as home decor, candles, music, incense, aromatherapy products, or you may want to keep that small due to your space constraints. But, you know, the option of you doing that and for your clients to do that is good. You could go through our website and peruse on the different items that we have available at touchesend.com to see if it's worth it to you. I want to give you the last bit of advice in the last 10 minutes of this conference to say that just being a martial arts school owner when you first open your school probably seems simple. Now that you own one and you're looking at it as a business, it's very intricate. There's so many things for you to do, maintaining your statistics, keeping track of your 2, 4, 6, 8, 10-week calls, your We Missed You calls, your trial class sales, your sign-ups, your all the other things that you do to run your school. Now we're starting to incorporate retail sales into the big picture. The interesting thing about it is that, you know, you could do whatever you set out to do. If you only have 50 students and you want to get, let's say, I don't know, $25 in extra sales over the next two or three months, you're looking at 25 times 50, let's say. You're looking at about $1,250 in additional sales over the next 2 months. Now we're talking November, December, which you know are big, big months where you could be doing retail gear, special things. You could get catalogs from people like Century, Asian World, Macho, and then they're blank catalogs. You put your name on them, give it out to your clients, make up a wish list, which I suggest to do, where you have it on the top of the page. It says wish list, and there's 1 through 20 of martial art things that your students need. This will enable a student who may need fighting gear to give this to their parents or give this to their grandparents or their cousins so they can accomplish, you know, kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. You may also want to be pushing your holiday gift cards as well. So people could buy gift certificates to a grandparent may buy a gift certificate to purchase merchandise through your school, a gift certificate for tuition, a gift certificate for an upgrade. You could now start right now pushing via email, flyers, and special sales. You should have at least 2 to 3 special sales from now until Christmas Eve. You should try to get out there and make the people, the students, the parents, and all their relatives aware that if they're going to spend money on something silly, it's going to be a waste. But if they could put it towards something that's necessary, towards their child's training or to their relative's training, where that person could benefit directly from this. I mean, not another game to be put on, you know, into their DS2, or not another shirt or sweatshirt that they're going to wear once, but something that they could use and it could benefit them in their educational pursuit of being a better martial artist. The key, of course, is to get those people out there, your clients, the relatives, the parents, aware of what they need and what they should be getting and what's good for them. Also, education is the key, letting them know that you do have jackets, T-shirts, hats, backpacks, or whatever it may be that you have. We have to make sure we get out there on a regular basis and explain, and we say educate, our clients on what's available to them. If we're not doing that, we're assuming that they all know. We're assuming that we have a T-shirt hanging on the wall that people realize that they should be buying it. We're assuming that if the jacket's hanging up, that they're seeing it. But really, items in the visual merchandising category become very much a fixture in people's minds. So that's why it's important, what I said before, to switch up and move your items on a regular basis. It's also important for you on a regular basis to get those flyers out there, market to the clientele, make sure that they know what you have and what's available. Basically, that's really it. Again, I'm going to cut this conversation or this teleseminar short by a few minutes because I usually leave time for questions, and there really aren't any. And I basically want to say to you, if you have any other questions, you can email me at Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, ninja, at AOL.com, or you can call me at 631-321-5432. That's my school. Or you could call our store for retail ideas at 631-893-4243, or go on our website at thetouchesend.com and get on our newsletter. And that way you could see how we promote to our students. You could get a copy of our newsletter every single month and see what we're doing to promote items, to promote upgrades, to promote different things to our school, like being a fly on the wall and seeing what people are doing on a regular basis to, you know, to be successful at retailing. And also, last but not least, if you ever want to, you could email me with any questions on anything or schedule a one-on-one conference call via Member Solutions, and I could speak to you privately for 20 minutes on anything that you'd like to. If you're listening to this call on archive, meaning that it's recorded to be heard at a later date, you're more than welcome to email me at that time or call me at that time. It doesn't matter how old this conference call is. I'd be more than happy to work with you. And don't forget, email me for my marketing action worksheet. That's just a simple way to market your school. And remember, we're not just looking for new students. We're looking to put together an entire marketing campaign to say, at what point of the year should you be retailing T-shirts and tank tops? What point of the year should you be doing whatever? You know, when is your holiday sales start? When does it end? When do you start marketing it? When do you start advertising it? Taking that time is what's going to very often be the answer and the link to success within your school.